I'm Joe Burke from PopX Cast, a proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all of our podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Man, Twitter got jacked up. Utomic goes live. Where the f*** is Adam? And much more. So grab your spoons, because the soup is served.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast calling bull on that it only takes three licks to get to that Tootsie Roll center of that Tootsie Pop.
I agree.
I actually, a funny thing this week, I actually looked up how many it did, and there was actually a college research group that determined that it was something like 360-something licks.
Really?
Yeah, so, you know, how would you like to be that guy that's sitting there just one, two, three?
No, thank you. Although I saw another worst jobs ever. I saw this meme going around Facebook, I think it was. And they said, you know, whenever you're having one of those days where you feel like your job is just the worst and you can't handle it, go to the local pharmacy, you know, Walgreens or whatever your, you know, pharmacy is. Buy a brand new rectal thermometer. Okay. Bring it home. When you get home, sit down with a cup of tea or, you know, beverage of your choice. Open that package up. And then once you take the thermometer out, set it carefully down on the side and then read the instructions that come with it. And it will say inside of there, each of our thermometers is thoroughly hand-tested and then sanitized to make sure they are up to standards. Now, wow. How would you like to be that guy at work saying, well, I got to get through a 347 rectal thermometers today. One.
Yep. Gotta hit quota.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, I actually thought you were going to go a little bit different here, almost like a prank type thing.
Yeah, no.
I thought you were going to say, get that rectal thermometer, dip that in some melted chocolate, start your video camera, and then just start licking it.
Although that would be a great prank, but no, yeah, just think about that guy. Quality assurance for rectal thermometers. There's only one way to test that. Oof.
Wrecked him, damn near killed him.
Yeah.
That's what I gotta say. Oof. Well, everybody, my name is Jason, and joining me today in the virtual studio is Adam and usually Dave. How's it going, gentlemen?
Fantastic.
How about you, Adam? How's it going, Adam?
Well, Adam,
wait a second. I just got something here from Adam. Let's go ahead and play this.
Hey, guys. This is Adam from the Digital Soup Podcast, and unfortunately, I'm not there today. I had a little incident here with some severe stomach pain that turned out to be appendicitis. So I'm recording this message from my hospital room, and I just hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I plan on being back in full force next week, and until then, we'll see you guys later. Thanks.
Oh, he's not here, man. Well, just so everybody knows, we did talk to Adam earlier. He everything seems to be fine, right? The surgery went well. He's recovering in his room. I believe he said he's going to be getting out tomorrow. Is that correct?
I'm pretty sure that's what he said. They're just keeping him overnight for monitoring, make sure everything stays good. It's a pretty quick in and out surgery.
What I was going to say. I can't believe how, you know, almost, you know, I don't want to say routine or simple because no surgery is routine or simple.
Right.
But, I mean, back in the day, and I'm talking about, you know, back when I was a young lad, I mean, you were in there for a while.
Oh, yeah. It was at least a few days usually, yeah. I think. But, yeah, that was crazy. I know we got the message this morning from him, and we're like, oh, crap, because we were supposed to record last night, and schedules got to be a little hectic with your work schedule. And so we're like, we'll do it tonight. That's no problem. And man, so hopefully he's feeling good right now, getting some rest. I know he said he was going to try and get a movie watch tonight for our upcoming Super Reviews episode, which was, what were we watching again?
Hardcore Harry, and right before
Hardcore Harry or Hardcore Henry?
Sorry.
I haven't watched it yet, so I got to do that.
I'm about 90% through it. I decided to give it a watch again tonight. I was going to wait till like Thursday night, but I had some free time here, and you know, the kids were watching their YouTube videos and stuff after their baths. So I just, you know, threw it on my tablet with some headphones on, and yeah, I'm about 90% through, and you know, just as good the second time. I really do enjoy this movie. Now, I know Adam, he said he was going to try to watch it in the hotel. Oh my gosh. Yeah, he's in a hotel right now, probably in the jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Now, in his hospital room, he said he was going to go ahead and give her a watch tonight. So that'll be two out of three that have watched it.
Yep.
And we just got to get Dave to do it, you know, because we're going to record this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'll have it done by probably Tuesday, Wednesday night. One of those two, I'll watch it and get some notes going. And I'm excited because, like we had talked about, and you told us, don't look anything up. Don't watch any trailers. Don't watch anything.
No trailers, nothing.
And I vaguely remember hearing about this movie, and I think I even saw a trailer at one point, but I could not tell you anything about what it was about. It was long enough ago where I don't remember it, so I'm going to go in totally blind on this. I'm excited about that, and that should drop sometime, what, next week, I suppose?
Yeah, yeah. As soon as I get to it, you know, it just depends on my schedule. You know?
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed in Adam, though. I really am.
Why? It,
well, because I told him earlier in our chat on Discord there that, you know, we have a perfect opportunity. Let's make up some awesome story. Like, you know, he was over the weekend, he was helping rebuild an orphanage for some kids, and the local slumlord sent a couple thugs to try and sabotage the operation, and he stopped them. And in the process, he took a bullet, but don't worry, it didn't hit anything vital. Clean pass through, required some surgery. But before he got the surgery, he finished the orphanage for the kids because he's a true hero. But he didn't do it. He told us the truth. And still,
he could have made it totally John Wickish.
Yeah, he could have had a lot of fun with it. But, you know, obviously we're missing Adam tonight. Hopefully he's getting better soon. But we still have a lot of great stuff to talk about. So,
well, before we dive in to... Ooh, ESPN update. Let's see what happened here. All right. Cavaliers lead the Raptors 63-47 at halftime. Yeah. Oh, LeBron James, 10 points.
There we go.
But we'll let me go ahead and mute that so you know ESPN doesn't interrupt us again. But before we do dive into our stories here, there is something I need to take care of here at the top of the show.
Sure.
As you guys know, we are part of a network called the Gonna Geek Network. One of the shows that is on the network is actually the official show, the Gonna Geek Show.
The official Gonna Geek podcast, that's right. Yep.
And unfortunately, and I'm saying unfortunately, they have decided that they wanted to fire a couple of shots across our bow.
Well, not they.
Okay. Yes, it is one person here, and that is the one person I want to address this very moment. All right.
Okay.
So hold on here a second. Stargate Pioneer! After you and the rest of the Gunna Geek Show painted me into a corner, into a situation I had no other choice but to reactionary to it. You called me out in a story I'd remembered hearing about a few years back. A story that was triggered into memory by something said on the show. Well, now you've messed with a ticking time bomb, Stargate, and it's about to explode! This Sunday at WrestleMania, in a steel cage match, you will feel my wrath as I lay the Mythbuster on you! And as you lay there in a bloody heap, you will understand why you should have called out the Urban Legend.
Wow.
That hurt.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's your voice feeling? But those are some harsh words.
Yeah. So Stargate, you know, it's all a good fun, I guess. But, you know.
Yeah. I was just happy that, you know, both Steven and Chris over there.
Chris is hashtag digital soup.
Yeah, well, no, they were, Steven and Chris were both hashtag team soup is what they
team
were going
soup.
With. Team soup. So we've got 2/3 of the official Gunna Geek podcast in our corner. So
that's
SP,
all we need, right? That's all we need.
I guess, you know, majority rules. And you know, I'm just going to say, you know, as usually Dave here from the Digital Soup podcast, I'm team Gunna Geek and team official Gunna Geek podcast, Team ATGN. I really enjoy all the shows, and I don't need to pick any fights, but you know, SP took issue with what you said. I'm gonna let you two settle this in the steel cage. I'll be like, you know, I don't know who is a good manager that would fit me. I would say someone like Jimmy Hart, you know, Mouth of the South, or
You're more like Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm that evil though. You know,
He was kind of a weasel. That's what they called
him. Yeah, I know, but I'm not sneaky like that, I don't think. Maybe.
Let's see. Oh, maybe you're one of the, Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, I was going to say, not that I'm a woman, but I'd be much more of a Miss Elizabeth to your macho man you just did, where I just kind of stood there and looked good.
No, it's Urban Legend.
Oh, yeah, Urban Legend, not Macho Man.
So how'd you like that? Urban Legend, Mythbuster is my finishing move.
Yeah, that's right. I like
Stargate.
It.
I threw a little wrestling on you there.
Yeah. I like it. We got to watch out. Maybe he'll just show up at your work one day and you guys will have a SmackDown right in your office. He is the secret director of SNASA, you know, that secret government space program. And he might just take a drone or a, you know, secret rocket and land at your work or something someday. So you never know.
Or even worse yet, he might, you know, just hack into Twitter and start stealing all our passwords. could be doing be that.
Too. Could be too.
What do you think?
That could be, since there was some issues there last Friday, May 4th. For any of you that haven't seen this,
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, the 4th was with somebody because Twitter issued a password reset request to all of their, customers? What would you call them? All of their users?
Users. Yeah, I would say just users.
All 330 million of Twitter's users were sent a message popping up saying what had happened and that Twitter does recommend you change your password. Basically, what they're saying is that there was a glitch in the system that exposed a large number of passwords internally to Twitter for several months. Jeez. Though they are saying they have found no signs of any breaches. No signs of any misuse of those passwords or anything else, but something to be aware of. I'm sure if you use Twitter, you've seen this pop-up come up and probably addressed it from there. I know I'm terrible and I haven't yet, but
I haven't even logged into my Twitter account, so I'm sure I'll get a pop-up when I do.
Yep. Well, yeah, maybe, because I know the one we use a lot with the show Twitter, when I logged in there, I saw the pop-up, and then I hit OK and dismissed it, and then meant to change it and never got around to it. So something we still got to do, so hopefully no one has our Digital Soup Twitter, but definitely.
Yeah, I'm thinking about changing it to ABC123, because I know that's very secure.
I would prefer it if you just would use password.
That does work good.
You know, let's make it topical. You know, everyone, you know, a lot of people use like Star Wars or something. Let's just use Infinity War.
Oh, yeah. Nobody guessed that.
We could do that. No one would guess it from a geek show, especially when 2/3 of our show still haven't seen it.
Well, Adam. Check this out. Check this out, though. Today I was, you know, I had nothing to do early in the morning. I had taken the kids to school and I was down on the computer here just getting some stuff ready for the show. And I'm like, man, I wonder if anybody is playing Infinity War this early in the morning.
Yeah.
So I went and I checked, and the big theater over in Canton, Tinseltown, they actually had it playing at 9:35 this morning.
Did you go?
I didn't go because, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I can't go. You know, I got so much to do. I got to mow. I got all this stuff I got to do. But then I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should just go because this will be done around noon.
Yeah.
And I could come home and I can mow and stuff. So, you know, I mentioned it to my wife and she said, well, I mean, if you want to go, I guess you could go and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but I got so much to do. And I hemmed and hawed a little bit. And then finally about 9:15 or so, I'm like, maybe I will go. But it's a half-hour drive, and then traffic and everything else. Right. I'm like, wait a second. I'm not even going to make it now anyway. So I was very, very close to going, but then I didn't. I mean, I haven't been to a non-kid movie, and we've talked about this before, since Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 2.
Man.
That is a long time ago. I think they've rebooted Spider-Man twice now since then.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I know on the for any listeners, the because Adam and Jason haven't seen it yet, I still want you guys to hold true. Don't spoil it for them. Although, you know, like I told you guys last week, good luck not seeing spoilers out there, because people have been really good for the most part about keeping a lot of this under wraps. But we're going to get to a point here at a couple weeks out where it's going to be everywhere. It's starting to show up already today everywhere.
I mean, we had already, I know one or two die. I mean, that much has been leaked, you know. Yeah. Nobody's saying who it is, but people have already said that one or two die. And I do know from talking to that biggest comic book nerd I know, Dave from the Digital Suit Podcast, that two of them do die in the comics, and I know which two it is. So I'm not sure if it's the same two or if there was two or not, you know, in the movie.
I'm not saying anything, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, in about 3 months, I'll see it when it comes out on video.
Right, but
I just got Black Panther. I can watch that soon.
yeah, it just came out, I know, on digital, I believe, and so check that out. But, yeah, I mean, for listeners, though, that have seen the movie and they want to get their fill of Infinity War podcasting and you know, there's no shortage of that out there right now, but the Gonna Geek Network, there's, I know, at least a couple of shows that have had some really good discussions about Infinity War if you're interested in that and want to look at it a little more. So you can check that out over there. But maybe, Jason, what you need to do is travel out to California.
And California? Yep,
if you go to a town called Chatsworth, California, maybe you can watch Infinity War on these special screens they've got out there.
Ooh, and what are those special screens?
These are Samsung. They're enormous. They're trying to break into movie theaters with these enormous monitors. Now, they're still not as big as some of the traditional movie screens, but what they are at this time are these enormous 34-foot 4K monitors for movie theaters. Now, wow. It's not quite as big as a standard screen, because I guess a standard screen is something like, is it 56 or 62? Sometimes they're really big screens, but
but this is an actual screen. This isn't just a projector.
Right, yeah, right. So. Yep, it's not a projector.
What are they called?
It's the Samsung Onyx.
Slam! That's for Adam.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it hurts, Adam.
Yeah, don't laugh. I wonder if it hurts when he's listening. If he listens to this, if he'll be, you know, literally busting a gut while he's laughing. Too soon?
You ripped your stitches, Adam.
Too soon. Sorry, buddy. Yeah. No, but, you know, they're saying a regular screen, a standard projection screen, is between 45 to 65 feet in most movie theaters. Now, obviously, these aren't that big yet, but what they're trying to do is get these theaters to build them in, because it's supposed to be a much higher, I don't know what the resolution, and much more advanced viewing experience from a
screen. You know, I wonder what the resolution is on a standard screen, because when you get that big, I mean, a 34... is this 34 feet? I was going to say inches. 34-foot screen, and it's 4K.
Yeah.
That's not going to be as impressive as a 50-inch screen 4K, you wouldn't think, because of the pixel density would be...
Yeah.
I mean, the pixels would be so much huger if you're only got 4,000, you know, pixels.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
They are saying that.
You think it would have to be like 40K.
Right. Yeah, it could be. I mean, the resolution they're saying... it's 34 feet, resolution of 4,096 by 2,160, provides a richer, crisper picture than standard 2K projection. I guess these are capable of both 2K, 4K, 3D, and HDR, which is what you're seeing in a lot of the current televisions out there. But they are saying that they went and watched, this is an article in The Verge that we've got linked up in our show notes over on DigitalSuitPodcast.com, or just swipe right in your podcast player to the show notes section. You'll find a link right to this. You can look at it right there.
Hmm.
And they have it linked up to, they watched Ready Player One on the Onyx screen. And they said it was hard without a, you know, direct side-by-side comparison to tell the difference, you know, between this LED screen and the standard. But when you're sitting closer to it, they said then it was really clear, you know, as far as the difference was really clear as far as how much better it is. And they're hoping that by, I don't know if they gave a date here. And later this year, they're also looking at introducing a 46-foot 4K LED screen to compete better with the traditional system. So,
okay. I have a quick question here for you, Dave. Do you own a 4K television yet?
No.
Okay, you don't own one. Do you know anybody that owns one?
I do know of people I talk to, you know, online and Twitter and things like that. People I know, friends online that have them, but no one that I've know well enough where it's like they're close and I've been able to go to their house and check it out.
Okay. Well, let me go to my Gunna Geekers then. Yep. Specifically
Chris.
Yeah, probably. He probably has a 4K, right? I'm sure Stargate has a 4K.
Probably.
I'm going to ask you guys, all of you that have a 4K television, can you watch, and I know this is going to be hard because you're going to hate watching this, I'm sorry, but can you watch an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? They're like, what? We don't want to watch that crap, but watch an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in 4K. Now, I'm talking about a 1080p resolutioned episode of it on a 4K.
Upscaling.
Yeah, on a 4K television. And this is the reason why I'm asking. I do gaming on my 4K television. I have my Roku hooked up, and I've watched other movies and other television shows through Plex, etc. on it, and I haven't noticed this weird anomaly, but I've watched two episodes now of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on it, and it is so hard to describe what it looks like. Okay, I'm going to try as hard as I can here. Yes, these are sets. These are TV shows, and they're done on sets. But you normally don't notice that they're sets. You think of them more real. You know what I mean?
It's too clear.
It makes it look exactly like it's a set. And the clarity of, and this is only at 1080p. This is not 4K versions of this program. Mm-hmm. This is 1080p or 720p, but it has this very weird look to it that I don't see in anything else. But even the characters look like they are badly, their uniforms, their costumes, I should say, are just like badly made. It's so hard to describe, but it looks horrible. I'll switch over to another TV. I'll watch it on my monitor. I'll watch it on my tablet, and boom, it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that always looks the same, you know, always looks great. That same episode on the 4K television makes it look like it is in the early days. It looks like, we'll go with this. Remember that one game that had all that full motion video with Mark Hamill? It was the... it was the lion race, and it was like Star Wars with TIE fighters and stuff, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, okay.
Wing Commander.
Oh,
Wing
yeah,
Commander.
Yeah.
Remember Wing Commander 3? When you would watch that on there, you knew that they were in a digital world.
Right.
It was just this actor, and that's almost what this is looking like. It's looking like these actors are standing in front of a digital, they're have this digital environment built around them.
It's the green screen you're seeing. So it's almost like an effect of more like watching a play on set than it is watching
a
fully...
Yeah, it is so strange, and I wonder if there's any way I could capture that to show people what I mean.
Yeah, that'd be interesting if you could somehow screen capture, because I bet you, I'm sure other people had run into it, and I'm sure it's just an issue where it's upscaling to a point where it's so clear that you're seeing all the flaws that are, you know, they're editing this for television broadcast standards with normal high def, I imagine, and so you're going to see...
But it's really pulling me out of it, and I've watched other shows, and I don't get the same effect. So I don't know if are they filming digitally or are they filming on film. Now I know the Walking Dead Prime is filmed on film, which gives it that little different look. Fear the Walking Dead is digitally filmed,
right.
So they have a different look, the two, but they still both look fantastic on that television.
Yeah, well, and I think that could come down to, though, just a matter simply of how they're shooting the program, too, because some of these programs might be shooting things with a 4K camera setup, you know, whereas others, like and I don't know this, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could be shooting with a little different camera setup. I'm sure it's digital, but, you know, maybe not as high-end as, you know, some of the other ones with bigger budgets, because let's face it, I would have to think Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, those shows probably have a bigger production budget, even though they're on smaller networks, than something like Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. or, no, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Sorry, I was thinking of the podcast. I'm Gunna Geek Network. But, yeah, probably have a bigger budget for their weekly episodes than something like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or any other major network television programming.
Possibly. You Legend of S.H.I.E.L.D.ers, if you want to just throw up a 720 or 1080p episode on your 4K television and just tell me if I'm completely insane or if you do notice some weirdness to it. Like it you could tell that it's all fake sets. And
interesting.
It really took me out of it, and I actually stopped watching it on the television, and I just watch it on my iPad Mini 4. It just
you're in the opposite direction. Everyone wants bigger and more clarity, and it's like, let me get it on my Apple Watch.
Well, yeah, watch it on the, that would be awesome.
Right, right. Well, with the screens, I mean, nothing else really to say about those other than that they are expensive, and my only thought about these Samsung Onyx screens is that they're saying for the 34-foot version is between $500,000 to $800,000, and I'm trying to picture my local cinema here, just an 8-screen.
Oh, yeah, they'll get it. Eight of them.
Yeah, you need 8 of those. There is no way they are upgrading to that. There's no way they can make it possible. But interesting tech, as we see it start to come in and become more common, maybe those prices come down. But it could just be something where we start seeing them in the big theaters, you know, similar to how IMAX is, where they have just their own thing, you know, and some of these other theaters. So interesting to see, but anything that can make that movie going experience that much better, I'm all for. Although I cringe to think of what ticket prices will go to if they're to pay for a 8. Think about like the big 16 plexes or, you know, 20 plexes, adding in $800,000 screens on each of them. Whew.
Well, instead of being $14 a ticket, now we're looking at $36 a ticket.
No kidding. No kidding.
All right. Well, let's keep moving on because this next story here, you know, I was excited when I saw the headline just because we had talked about it before. We had never.
Ages ago,
Back in episode 18, we first covered this. Mm-hmm. This is the Utomix video, it's a game subscription service for PCs, not video games. When I think video games, you always think consoles, but so it's a PC game and subscription service where it'll allow you to play. I guess they have over 750 games now. You subscribe to it, you can download and play the games all you want as long as you're subscribed, which is pretty cool. It's competing with, you know, those console versions, you know, like Xbox has their Game Pass, PlayStation has their Now, but this blows them away with how many games that are available. And it's been in beta. I mean, it's been forever. I mean, we talked about it a year ago, basically, but it had already been in beta for a while, probably a couple of years. And it officially launched last Thursday, May 3rd, you know, the day before Star Wars Day. And none of us have actually tried it yet, but it was a very intriguing prospect because just like the Game Pass and the Now, everybody can't afford games all the time.
Right, right.
You know, they're expensive, but with services like this, for the cost of one or two games, you know, say $60 or $120, however much it is a year, you could play all the games you want. You know, every day you could play a different game.
Right, right.
So that's kind of intriguing there. I mean, you never own anything, but you know,
what's the difference if you play it as much as you want and then. Yeah. Dump it, you know, when you're done.
Well, exactly, because, I mean, you own the game. You'll play it till you either defeat it or you just get tired of it. You put it away. You never play it again anyways.
So. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, they've got a list of, you know, multiple times in this article. Again, you can find this right in your show notes on your phone or check out our website here at digitalsuitpodcast.com. But you can find, they've got multiple times linked how, you know, here's a full list of games available, and they kind of break this down. You know, like you said, $7 a month, $6.99 a month. It's giving you access to their library, and the titles they put out here is things like Batman Arkham series, which were awesome. The Saints Row 4, Metro Last Night, Human Fall Flat. They're working with a lot of publishers like Warner Brothers Games, Disney, Sega, THQ Nordic, Epic Games, and Curve Digital. As well as they recently just partnered with IO Interactive from the Hitman franchise. So, I mean, they're kind of giving you a good mix of both indie titles and some of the bigger titles that are just not necessarily brand new right now, you know. Now, they do talk about other services out there, something called Jump, which is a similar model, but they're exclusively indie games. That's in beta still, much smaller library, but it's only $4.99 a month. And then on the other end, and I didn't know this, but they've got PlayStation Now, which is $20 a month, basically. But they say it's granting PC gamers access to a lot of their console exclusive lineup. So I don't know how that works, like Red Dead Redemption, for example. And then, of course, Xbox Game Pass, you mentioned. So that PlayStation Now is interesting. I wonder if for $20 a month, which is, you know, more than
That's pretty hefty there.
Right,
I mean,
it is.
That's a commitment because that's, what, $240 a year then? I mean, it's not cheap.
I'm wondering, like, when I didn't really, because it sounds like you're able to play the PlayStation titles on your PC, which were previously unavailable.
But you probably have to own the PlayStation, right? And it's probably just streaming it.
That's something we'll have to look more and maybe we can follow that up. But Utomic,
I could see where you would enjoy that because there are some PlayStation 4 games that you've wanted to play.
Yep.
And if you could do this, you know, at your PC instead of having to, you know, purchase the PS4 and the games.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, cool. And I'm gonna just say it now that
it could be cool. Yeah. Could I be love squeaks. It when people do that, don't you? Get the old squeak.
No,
we're just annoying the listeners.
Right. Yeah, they're not hearing their favorite voice of Adam's nice calm tones here to settle things out. But
Stargate Pioneer.
There comes.
That's going to be it.
What was his name again?
Urban Legend.
Oh, yeah. Urban Legend. Yeah.
I'm going to hit you with the Mythbuster in the center of the ring.
Nice. No, Utomic, though, I mean, like you said, we talked about him ages ago. And, you know, we all said it back then. One of us should really sign up for this and try it out.
I know.
And none of us ever did. And for $7 a month, I mean, I put out a post on Twitter last week sometime, late in the week, you know, asking people, you know, to give me some game recommendations. We're looking for some new recommendations. And I put it something like, you know, hit me up with some PC gaming recommendations for someone who's into everything from Witcher 3 and Skyrim to Madden Football and, you know, quite a variety of games, and got a few recommendations, things like Crysis, and what did Adam recommended one too, and I can't remember off the top of my head what it was. I don't have it in front of me here, but
it's probably like what's that game called that everybody plays on Facebook?
Farmville or something.
No, the puzzle one.
Oh, it's Candy Crush.
Candy Crush, yeah. Adam's big into Candy Crush.
No, this was his was a space shooter, I think.
Wing Commander 3?
No, I forget what it was though. But
sorry, Mark Hamill.
No, but I mean, there's a lot of good games out there, and I'm looking for something to play because I am finally starting to get a little more time to play on my PC. I'm working on Witcher 3 right now, which I'm enjoying, but I also I'm kind of feeling the itch for some reason. I really would love to check out the new Assassin's Creed, Origins, and a few others, but I'm just so far out of the loop when it comes to what's even in the last 3-4 years games that were just massive, you know.
Well, I've you know preached about this game before, not literally preach, but I mean I've talked about it before, and I'm an older guy. I'm 47 this year. I mean this month, everybody, this year of course too, but this month, the end of the month, I do turn 47, so I'm an older gentleman, distinguished gentleman. But I don't have time to actually play games to completion.
Right.
Well, shortly after BioShock 1 came out, which was a while ago now, maybe almost a decade, but maybe not that long, but when that came out, I got it, and boy, did that story, that just grabbed me. And I have never played a game to completion for probably over a decade before that game, but I had to see how it ended. I had to play the game, get the whole story. That really, you know, drug me in, and I know you've never played it, right?
No, I haven't.
It's an awesome story. I think you would dig it. I mean, it's an older game. You could probably get it, you know, on Steam for, you know, under $10 now.
Sure.
You probably get, you know, all three of them for $30. They usually have like deals like that. Yep. I know I do have all three of them via a Steam sale, all three of them together. And so I do own them all.
Yeah. I mean, I just want some variety because the only things I have installed right now, I have Witcher 3, I have Ark Survival Evolved that we will occasionally, I only play that when you guys are on.
Yeah.
What's the other one? I've been trying to get installed. It's just a big patch, and I get impatient, so I never deal with it. But wanted to check out, go back and check out Lord of the Rings Online, because I remember we tried it out when that they first came out with it. And I remember firing it up and playing, you know, leveling my character up to like level 10 or something. And then I wasn't playing games, so I got rid of it, you know, systems and systems ago. But that's really it. I think I have in my Steam library, I need to re-download. I played a little bit of it and never came back to it when I upgraded my new machine. But the, not the newest Shadows of Mordor or whatever it's called, Shadows of War, but I forget which one it is. It's the previous one, not the brand new one that came out for the Lord of the Rings Shadows of Mordor or Shadows of War.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called. I know what you're talking about, but
I just can't remember which one. And that was fun, the little bit I played of it. But it's like I kind of just want something else. And that's where Utomic, I think, I mean, I'm looking at this library and, you know, there's a lot of Star Wars in there, Battlefront 2, The Force Unleashed, you know, obviously the Batman ones we talked about. A lot of the Lego games as well in there, which are always fun just to pop in and play. Borderlands is in there. I've never really actually played that.
And you know what I just saw here too? They have a whole bunch of Sonic games too. They have the kart racing one, but they also have like Sonic CD, Sonic 4, Episode 1 and 2, which is, I don't know if you've ever seen Sonic 4, which it's pretty cool. It's a brand new Sonic, but in the old style.
Oh, okay.
All new boards. It's pretty cool. So for $7 a month, I mean, there is, you could go 1 month. Just, you know, try it out for 1 month.
You can actually do a 14-day free trial. So.
Oh, or you could do that and play.
Yeah.
But make sure that you're going on vacation, the wife and kids are gone, and you can, you know, just go ahead and play.
Right.
Now,
right.
When you're asking about suggestions and stuff here, I just thought about a genre of game that I have not played in a long time, but actually captivated me and took so much of my 20s time. And what they were is the real-time strategy, like the Command and Conquers and the original Warcrafts and stuff, the resource-gathering war games. I used to love those.
Yeah, I know you used to.
Age of Empires, all those.
Civilizations, another similar style. That wasn't so much battle, I guess. But those are games, and I might have said this before, but they always look good. And in my mind, I always think, oh, I'd love that. It'd be fun just to get into it, run through a round or two, and da-da-da. And then I start playing it, and I'm just terrible at those games. And then I don't find them fun because I suck at them so bad. So it's like I lose interest right away because they're just not the type of, not really my thing. I don't know why, but
I don't know why.
There's some great games in that genre, but it's just not the genre I want. So, you know, I guess, you know, listeners, if any of you have checked out and tried this service with Utomic, definitely get in touch with us. Let us know, because we'd love to hear how it worked for you. And if you want a good laugh, go back and listen to us as we were just getting started back on episode 18. Yeah, that has to be about this time of year, because we started in January. So actually a little early, about March, April, somewhere in there.
So it's probably about a year. Yeah.
Yep. Just over a year.
We probably got everything wrong about it. Yeah. Go back and listen to it and see how wrong we were about this.
Right. Have a good laugh. Kind of like looking at pictures of, you know, when your parents show pictures of you as a kid and embarrass you, it's probably a lot like that. If you listen back to episode 18 for us,
you know, I never got embarrassed when my parents showed pictures of me, because, you know, I looked a lot like Luke Cage in those early pictures.
What, a big black man? That's
that's invincible.
Yeah. Well, or is he?
Well, from what I know, I never watched season one of Luke Cage, but I did see Luke Cage on Jessica Jones, and I still haven't hit season two of Jessica Jones yet either. I'm behind on everything, but Netflix has now dropped the first trailer for season two of Luke Cage, and I know, Dave, you're all caught up on it, so this probably tickled your fancy, didn't
it? You know, and I've got a tickled my fan. Yeah, I've got to preface this and say I enjoyed season one, but it by far was not my favorite of the Netflix Defenders, you know, series that have been out, between Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and of course the Punisher, and their team up in there as
Did
well.
Did Iron Fist have a series?
Yep.
Miss that?
The order, if I remember right, was exactly that: Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, then the Iron Fist, then the Defenders, then the Punisher, and now Jessica Jones season two, Oh, we had Daredevil season two in there right after as well. And then we had Jessica Jones season two. Now Luke Cage season two is coming out. Now, looking at this trailer, the first season of Luke Cage was, I mean, like I said, I enjoyed it. It wasn't my favorite, but still a fun watch. And they handled it well. It's just that it's always a character I've never been really, really into. So I don't know a ton of the, you know, little Easter eggs. So it's not as exciting when I see someone show up from the comics that, you know, because I don't recognize them. So I can't have that moment of like, oh, man, there's Elektra, you know, whatever.
Hey, since you brought that up, I have to say this. All right. Yeah. So back when I was a young teenager, man, I loved the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon that was on, right? And I remember when the first movie came out, the first live action movie, not this reboot that just happened a few years ago, but that first one, as soon as Casey Jones walked on, I'm like, oh my God, I know who that is.
Yeah. And that,
that hockey mask.
Yeah.
Oh, man, like, whoa.
Yeah. And now he's on what, Criminal Minds or one of the Law and Order type shows? I forget, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. But I mean, that's that feeling though. With Luke Cage, I don't know the character as well, so I don't have those moments. But I know in that first season, you know, and in the Defenders and any appearance he's made, he's virtually indestructible. There is one section where he gets shot, I think, with a special bullet or something.
Yeah,
a
kryptonite bullet, yes.
Yeah, it's not kryptonite, but essentially it cuts through and it doesn't let him heal. And there's a threat there. But this trailer, when you watch
spoiler.
Well, it's not. It happens mid-season, so it's not really a spoiler. But this trailer, did you get a chance to watch it yet? Or
I have not.
Not yet?
Because I haven't even seen the first season, so I wasn't like, all right, I'm going to jump in and check watch this trailer.
And what's cool about it is they show him, and he's become basically a local celebrity. I mean, he's helping everyone out. He's taking selfies with kids. I mean, everyone knows him. He's not hiding anymore. He's not trying to, you know, hide who he is. He's very much a public persona for his neighborhood there, getting a lot of publicity. And apparently this other guy, the villain, which I didn't catch his name, but someone is
Killjoy?
Taking, no, it's not Killjoy. It's some other individual.
Joy Kill?
No.
And, that's his sister?
Nah, yeah, right. No, but this guy comes walking up to him. It's at night. They're under streetlights. And, you know, Luke Cage is saying, look, you know, don't cause any trouble. We don't want to do this, blah, blah, blah. And someone is taking video of it. You know, I don't know if it's a news outlet or who. You know, because he's kind of a local celebrity, people are always capturing video of him. And this guy hits him with an uppercut and then like this spinning leg kick straight out of Street Fighter where you like flip backwards, you know, and knocks the crap out of Luke Cage.
Really?
Like, just with a punch and a kick. And they show him he's in, you know, back at his place. He's getting medical help. You know, they're bringing him in. Is he going to die? This and that. He's spitting out blood. I mean, he gets his world rocked by this guy. And now he's got to go after him to protect his neighborhood and his city. And I think they've, you know, the stakes seem a little higher because now there's someone on his level. And
okay.
Looks really good.
Oh, okay. So he's not just a normal dude.
No, he was part of.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you find out he's actually, you know, you don't find out what he is, but they hint that he's enhanced somehow.
Oh, okay.
And so.
Because, like I said, I only know Luke Cage from Jessica Jones. And I do remember getting the feeling that when people punched him, it was like punching Colossus.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just like solid steel.
And then you say, yeah, and then you said this guy is like knocking him over and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, he beats him bloody with two punches, and then they show the villain guy. He's a bunch of police or someone come. I can't remember if it's police or someone in the trailer here. And they start shooting at him, and they show all the bullets hitting him, just like they do with Luke Cage, but then they all fall down. They don't penetrate. They're just smashed on him like he's steel as well. So something's up there. They're not really saying exactly what's going on. Like I said, it's a first trailer. But if I'm not mistaken, I think this season two comes out June 22nd, so we won't have to wait real long to see what's happening. So,
all right, cool.
Very cool.
I'm not going to watch a trailer or anything for it until I watch the first season.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Get caught up, man. Can't get you to the theater for Infinity War.
I know.
Can't get you to watch these shows on Netflix.
I just don't got time, man. I got kids.
Yeah, what do you have time for?
It's time for a geek off.
Ah, little geek off time.
Yeah, and Adam wasn't here to make the noise.
Yeah, I know. There was no howling or it's kind of sad right now. It's a sad geek off. But
I know. What does an appendix sound like?
Nothing anymore. He doesn't have one.
Oh, he's not a whole man anymore.
Yeah, he's half the man he used to be. Sorry, Adam. It's you know we couldn't let you off too easy, but we miss you.
But Dark Adam.
I figured since Adam wasn't here, we'd do a geek off. It's kind of hard to do that, I thought. But I'm going to give you something to think about, and I want you just to debate it with yourself, and I'll be back in like 5 minutes. No.
All right.
No. What I actually thought would be kind of fun, and this was something that you and I had thrown around, and we've kind of been doing a little bit throughout the show anyway, so it fits in, I think, good. But I figured since we couldn't really do a true geek off because your debate partner isn't here, let's just take a little trip down memory lane. I want to hear about some of our favorite games, movies, TV shows, and music from when we were younger. I don't want to set a specific age, like, you know, when you were 15 or in 1995, but just think like teens, early 20s, those times, you know, through there, or like when we were all hanging out back in the day. What were we into? What was the stuff we were playing? What were we watching? What were the things that we just couldn't get enough of back then? Of course, in the geek realm.
Yeah. Well, let's break it down. Let me start with games here.
Sure.
And I'm going to do just like you said. I'm going to go back to my early 20s. You guys were like 11.
I'm only 7 years behind you. Not even.
But say my well, yeah, because I didn't meet you. How old were you? 21?
So
this has been my late 20s.
I was actually 20 when we met.
Okay. But still, I would have been closer to my mid to late 20s. But
yep.
Some of the most fun we ever had game-wise, I'm going to have to say, was in about that time frame, was with the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
That system, we just, you know, there was like quite a few of us that would come over and play. And, you know, what was awesome about the system is you could play four players.
Yeah.
I had four controllers. We could play four players. We still didn't have enough, you know, controllers for everybody because right. We still had to rotate in and out. But, oh, man, just Mario Kart 64,
yep.
GoldenEye, all the wrestling games.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are huge. Madden Football.
See,
which,
I don't remember playing Madden football as much on the 64. I remember.
I think we played more Blitz, didn't we?
Yeah, I remember us having, this was a little, we'd get together and play on the PS1, and we'd have like NFL Blitz tournaments, but that was a slightly different group of friends. Me and you were still there, yeah. But it was a few other friends, but my buddy Shane and a few people from more of my friends and not so many of people that you knew, you know.
Yeah. Where with the Nintendo, it was, you know, basically, we'll break down a wall here, but I used to work for McDonald's.
Yeah.
And so did my brother. So did, you know, a bunch of our friends,
right.
You know, were all from there. And that was basically the group where, you know, we... You know, I met Dave after I left McDonald's, went to a casino, worked there for a while. Then I started working at a call center where Dave was working at the time,
yeah.
And that's how we met. But I still hung out.
That's the best story ever, too.
Yeah.
You mooch. Yeah, it's big.
Hey. Just because I barely knew you, if at all, and you won Minnesota Vikings tickets, and I conned you into taking me.
Yeah, didn't know him at all, and... I sold the most of something, and so I won these tickets. I think starter jackets, NFL starter jackets,
yeah,
back in
the
day.
Yeah, that's what it was. That was a starter.
That was in 1998, so yeah, I would have been 20. And because the only reason I remember is because that's the year the Vikings were so good, and Randy Moss is rookie, and we went and watched them beat Jacksonville like 50-something to 10. But
yeah, it was a blowout.
Awesome game. You know, we got tickets to be up in the executive suites of the Metrodome, and super fun. And there, you know, they hand me the tickets and Jason across the room at this place. I mean, I'd bumped into him on break a couple times, but that was about it. Didn't know anyone really. And he's like, so you're taking me to the game in front of everyone? I'm like, no.
But you know? Dave's like, well, I was thinking about taking my dad. I'm like, nah.
Then,
you don't want to take your dad. You want to take me.
Yeah, and then what
I
ends up...
I bring the fun.
Yeah, and what ends up happening is I try to take my dad, and he was tied up working, couldn't get out of work, overtime or whatever was going on. So I had no one else to really go with, and I'm like, hey, man, I don't know you, but... I know we're joking about, but you want to come with? And he absolutely did. So that's how that's how this started.
And we've been friends from forever since then.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, it's it was you know, it was pretty awesome. Getting back to the games.
The games, yeah.
But that's how Dave and I met, and you know, and we're all hanging out and just just that Nintendo 64 and those games. I mean, we would play literally until the sun came up the next day.
Oh yeah,
we'd be playing Mario Kart and, like I said, GoldenEye. GoldenEye was amazing. It was the first four-player shooter we'd ever played.
Right,
and it was just it was amazing how you could do it. I mean, you could kind of look up and see where somebody was, and we'd yell at, quit looking at my corner.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be looking where I'm at.
You remember how bad I was, though, on the 64, N64? Because I was so used to, I suppose at that time it was, what, the PS1?
Was the N64 came out first. The Nintendo 64 was the first system that brought back the analog stick.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think.
The first PlayStation, it actually didn't even have analog sticks, if you remember.
It
had a D-pad.
Yep, it was just a D-pad. I'm trying to remember because I know I didn't own a 64, but I had a game system at that time. I just don't remember what.
That's probably the Genesis. No, you never owned a Genesis.
No, maybe it was still the Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo.
And so I had a hard time. I loved playing, but I was terrible at it. And then when I bought my first game system, I might have had a PlayStation at that time. PS1 might have been out with the original. They didn't have the
DualShock. PS1 did come out in 95.
I think I had that. And that's what I was used to playing because I remember playing like NFL Game Day and you remember a game called Vagrant Story?
Yes, yes. It was an RPG, if I remember right.
Like an action RPG, yeah.
And it had, like, everything had kind of like a brown hue to it, if I remember. Yep.
Yeah, and it was kind of one of these action RPGs with actually, from what I remember, a pretty good story. But I remember playing that a lot. I remember the other one I used to play a lot on my PlayStation. I bought it. You and I were on a trip down to it. Might have been the same trip to the cities for the game. It was called Brave Fencer Musashi.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get hugely into that. I know. I think you completed it.
Oh yeah, yep. And that was kind of in the. I always kind of thought of it as like a Final Fantasy light. I think it was by Square Enix, possibly too. I think it might have been. I'm not sure, but it didn't have the real heavy cutscenes. It was much more kind of anime, you know. In it wasn't quite as in depth, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, there was another PS1 game that I absolutely loved. I know we all played it to death too.
Yeah.
And it was that Soul Reaver. Remember that?
That was Dreamcast. I remember playing Soul Reaver, Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver 2.
Was that on that? Okay.
I believe that was
Dreamcast.
Being
able to suck in the souls of people you killed and stuff. That was pretty dang cool.
It might have been cross-platform, but I remember playing it on the Dreamcast all the time.
Yeah. Oh, I miss that Dreamcast. That was a good system.
Oh, yeah. It was so much fun. Mine is still around. My nephew, actually, he's 18 now, but I gave it to him years and years
Your
ago.
Your nephew's 18. That sounds so weird.
Yeah, right? I mean, but he's a huge gamer, loves playing, but he still he'll still bust out that Dreamcast and play that. He loved Legacy of Kain and a lot of those games we had back then because I let him have that system. And, you know, some of the other ones back in the PlayStation 1 days, I played a ton of, remember the WWE Raw Attitude era where there was the first time could really start creating your own characters. That one was fun, but the gameplay was super hard. Like, it wasn't intuitive at all. You know, very much like weird button combos and everything, but it was really cool. But the ones I really played a lot, we played a ton of the SmackDown games SmackDown 1 and 2 when those first came out because they introduced a story mode. That was huge back in that
day. Oh, yeah. I loved it too. Yeah.
Then of course we spent a lot of time in those days. You were on EverQuest.
Yeah.
And then of course you got me into Dark Age of Camelot.
Well, that
was a little later.
EverQuest. Yeah, that was like 99-2000.
Yep.
Something like that. And then the Dark Age of Camelot was that was early 90s.
Yeah.
And that's when we started playing that.
That was my first MMORPG. Because I remember you playing EverQuest, and I always thought, it looks cool, but I don't know. I don't want to do that. That's too nerdy for me. And you'd go, I'd come over, and you'd be sitting at your computer because you had it set up, and you're kind of off your living room in that apartment. And you'd be playing EverQuest, and I'd be watching whatever movies or whatever on cable. We'd just be hanging out, chatting and stuff. But then I got into Dark Age of Camelot with you guys, and that kind of hooked me in, and we went from that to, of course, World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I was the only one. Well, my mother. Now, this is funny. My mother's a gamer. She's 67 right now. But she has been a gamer ever since we've been gamers. I mean, she always enjoyed games, too. And she has PCs. She played EverQuest. All of them. She's huge in Ark. They play Ark all day long. She owns a GameCube. That's the last console she ever owned. And, you know, she plays games on that every once in a while. But, when EverQuest 1 came out, that was the biggest time sink game I've ever played. I played that more than any modern MMORPG.
Right.
That game, I suppose because I was younger and, you know, didn't have as much responsibility. Right. That's all we did was work and then play games.
Well, and I think also at that time, my opinion of it is, you know, I'm going to say what I think you were doing because, you know, I would know, you wouldn't, right? But I think a lot of it was that there just wasn't as much variety out at the time. And so I know when we got into things later with like WoW and we did City of Heroes, we did EverQuest 2, we tried a lot of these games, but there started to become so many of them that you, for listeners, if you haven't picked up on it yet, Jason just likes to try. He's got to try all this stuff, but he never wants to, you know, devote a ton of time into really sticking with one game. You just like to try a little bit of everything, you know, just love all the latest.
That's
and
why Utomic would be perfect for a guy like me.
Yes, it would. It would. But that's back in those days, you know, what we played. You know, I know we were going to break this down to movies, TV shows, music, all of this. We might have to save this for another conversation because we could go on for hours.
Oh, I mean, look at how long we've gone just on games.
Yeah, why don't we put a pin? We'll keep this on games. What any final thoughts on the games before we move on to the rest of our stuff here, stuff that you were really stands out for you?
Yeah, well, my memory is kind of foggy here on how, you know, where these games fell into place. I do remember, like you said, on the PlayStation 1, Game Day was huge before Madden, because Madden actually was supposed to be released in 96. They saw how good Sony's Game Day was. They actually canned it. They never released Madden 96 on there.
Not on PlayStation, no. Because I remember, I remember obviously playing Madden on the Super Nintendo a ton.
Oh yeah, you know? It was on all of those. But I mean, they canned that one, and then they released Madden 97, which we all got. Madden 97 was amazing. But yeah, Game Day. Too bad that they couldn't keep it going. Well, of course, Madden has the NFL license, so 2K isn't around either. Yep. I hate exclusivity with licenses. That is so stupid because there's no competition then.
Yep.
Madden's great, but it was better when it had other things competing.
Well, it was, but some of those other games also, they were a little different. You know, I remember, like you say, Game Day was a blast. I mean, it was phenomenal. Doesn't hold up now. I went back and tried playing it a little bit because I still have my PlayStation. And it's hard to play because the graphics really just aren't good. I almost found it hard to see what was going on. But
hey, and since you brought that up, before you keep going on there, I want to lay this out here. Original PlayStation is one of the only systems in the history of all systems where the games do not hold up. The graphic style that those games were, the majority of them, because they were the polygony, whatever it was, they just don't hold up like even PlayStation 2 and up or any of the Sprite 16-bit, 8-bit games. Those all hold up. But PlayStation 1 is so hard to go back and play because it almost hurts your eyes.
Well, yeah, and that's the weird thing. I remember playing it and being blown away by graphics. Remember a game I used to play a ton of was called Parasite Eve?
Oh, yeah, I loved it too,
man. That was fantastic, very cinematic, and we loved the graphics. And then to go back and look at it now, it literally feels like you can't quite see what's going on because it's it just doesn't hold up. But
take a look at the re-release of the first three Crash Bandicoot games.
Oh yeah,
you side by side. There's videos on YouTube where you could see the original PlayStation 1 and then what they have for the modern systems and PC.
Right.
It is amazing how good this looks and how horrible that looks.
Yeah.
I mean, you take a look at N64 games, you know, some of them still look fantastic, like Banjo-Kazooie.
Yep.
The art style is still great. The
Donkey
original,
Kong Countries.
Yep. Mario Kart 64, of course, but Mario 64.
Yep.
They look great still, but these polygon, you know, graphics, you know, trapezoid, whatever you want to call them, they don't hold up.
They're very sloppy looking now, yeah. But, I mean, I remember, though, when going off the PS1 and into the Dreamcast realm, of course, you know, the 2K series, that's what we played on there all the time, the ESPN football. And it was so much fun.
And it, you know, for us at that time, the absolute top echelon of the 2K series was the last one, 2K15.
Yep.
NFL 2K15 blew away all the Maddens we'd played prior to that.
Yep.
It was so fantastic. The full ESPN integration was phenomenal the way they did that. And if you owned the original Xbox version, because I had it on the PS2 and the Xbox. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we're talking about the Dreamcast there because that's where it started.
Yep.
But the original Xbox version was the best version of 2K15 because it would use the hard drive, and instead of, at the very end of this game, it would show highlights of some of your great plays, great catches, etc. But on the Xbox, it would show you the video.
Right.
And that really brought in that ESPN feel. Oh, let's take a look at the highlights
recaps
here.
Recaps.
It was amazing.
And I remember in those days, because as a longtime Madden fan growing up, I mean, through the Super Nintendo years, I loved it. And then I got into NFL Game Day and then the ESPN 2K series. And when I bought my original Xbox, when it first came out, I mean, I bought it on launch. And I bought Halo and I bought Madden for my Xbox.
And the Duke controller.
Yeah, and you know, I loved them and I played them a ton, but I remember going back to the 2K series on my Dreamcast just to play football a lot of times because I liked it. I liked the look of it and the feel better than Madden on the original Xbox. Even though it was fun, Madden was always very much ultra realistic sim kind of oriented, where ESPN and the 2K series was very, not arcadey, but it was more entertaining.
And one of the things you'll notice if you look at a side-by-side of Madden, it would have been Madden 2015 and then 2015.
No, not that new. 2005.
2005.
Yeah.
And the 2K 2005 of the, you know, 2K series. And Madden was a little bit shorter squatter characters.
With big heads.
They were taller. On the 2K series, they were taller and more proportionate.
Right, yep.
And it kind of gave you, you know, more realistic look there.
Madden's characters in that era always reminded me of like these short little kids running around with the helmets that were a little too big for them.
It was Pony League football.
Yeah, it was big bobbly helmets, and they were kind of short and squat, but ultra-realistic as far as the gameplay, whereas ESPN had a little bit of like a glide to it. When you'd run and turn, it wasn't like these sharp, jittery cuts. There was a little bit of a glide. That's the arcadey aspect to it, but it was just so much fun.
Well, you know, we love that series, but of course we love the John Madden series too, and something big just happened with John Madden.
Right, right. And we were thinking about maybe pushing this off to next
week. No, I'm not, because we're talking about Madden. I wanted to do it now.
We are, and it makes sense to do it. It's a good story to throw in here where John Madden football, the original John Madden, which was, I believe, the one they voted in was for the Sega?
The very first John Madden football ever released was on the PC, so I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I'm looking to see.
If they're talking about console Madden or of the PC Madden. It looks like it's the Sega Genesis
That's what
Madden,
it looks like to me.
Now that I'm looking at the picture here.
Yep, and so John Madden football, along with the original Tomb Raider, Lara Croft, and there's two other games this year, too. I can't remember what they were, but they were...
Space War, which was touted as the very first video game ever.
Okay, yep.
Space War.
And then...
it looks like Final Fantasy VII.
Seven, yeah, that's the one I was looking for.
People hate me for this. Chris from the Gunna Geek Network hates me for this, I'm sure. So does Willie. He's going to hate me for this. But I thought Final Fantasy VII was the worst Final Fantasy that I had played. I only played up to like I think of single player ones, I think eight was the highest I played. And then I did play that Final Fantasy, what was it, 10 or 11 or 9. What was the first online Final Fantasy?
I forget which one that was. Yeah.
But I did play that, but I hadn't played any. Now, I do go back and I play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 because I love those classic ones on my iPad, like you guys all know. But yeah, I never got into Final Fantasy VII. I don't know if it was the steampunk aspect of it. Which a lot of the, you know, 2D sprite ones were steampunky. Yeah. So I don't know why. It just didn't grab me.
I think for me, and I've mentioned this on the show before, I never actually played through the game myself. I had the controller in my hands and would play through small sections, but mostly I watched.
Oh, so your wife would give you an unplugged controller and she would be playing and then you would.
I didn't know her at that time. It was our friend Shane. Chevy used to do that, and he'd hand me an unplugged controller probably. No, every now and then he'd hand me the controller if he had to run, you know, the bathroom or something, say, go ahead and just take over while I go. But I mostly watched him play through it, and I just looked at it, and it's like, I don't have
so
the
you
time.
Were literally number two.
I was. We'd just hang out, and I sat there, and we'd joke around and laugh and have fun, and he did the actual playing and controlling, and I just hung out while we did it, and, you know, when there was puzzle elements or things like that, we'd work on them together, but it was so massive. But.
I just got to the last paragraph of this article on, you know, the inductees into the Hall of Fame here.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on with the world right now.
What?
There were three games that did not make the cut this time that were nominated.
Oh, I see.
Asteroids is one of them. Now, Asteroids, okay, that's fine. I mean, it was a fun game back in the Atari 2600 day.
Yep.
But, you know, whatever. But Adam's going to kill somebody for the next one, Half-Life, because he loves Half-Life. And then I'm probably going to kill everybody else for the next one.
Yeah,
Metroid. Seriously, you're gonna bring Space War, a crappy game, in here. You're gonna bring Final Fantasy VII, the worst of the series. But Metroid is not in the Hall of Fame. Seriously.
Well, you have to think both Half-Life and Metroid will get there at some point. But I don't know. That's kind of crazy. I mean, I didn't even realize there was a Hall of Fame for games. It looks like this is about 4 years old.
Yeah, neither did this, actually. But I'm still upset now that I know.
Yeah.
Why is Metroid not in there?
Looks like they call it the World Video Game Hall of Fame, including, let's see, Sportscaster. It's the fourth year that the Strong National Museum of Play in Rochester, New York has recognized pioneering achievements in video games. And that's what happened. Classics in there right now include games like Pac-Man and Tetris. But John Madden Football, like we were talking about, gets enshrined into the Video Game Hall of Fame, along with Lara Croft, Final Fantasy VII, which it was pretty epic. I will say that, whether you liked it or not. You have to admit it was a
big
game changer there. And then, of course, the last game there of Space War, which I don't know anything about. So,
but here's the thing about, I don't want to dwell on this, but the thing why Final Fantasy VII was so huge is because this was an entire generation's first role-playing game they ever played.
Yep, that is true.
And that is why it is so huge. Yep. Now, those of us that are older, we have played so many role-playing games prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not even in my top 10 of RPGs. But yeah, this was just phenomenal because that generation, the PlayStation was their first console.
Right.
And, you know, and it this is at the, you know, N64 was great. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis was awesome. Those helped build gaming to where it was when that PlayStation 1 was introduced.
Right.
And so people who had never played games before but were intrigued by it and wanted to get into it, they bought that first PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
And this was their first RPG.
Exactly.
So, you know, yes, a lot of people love it, but I think they love it because of that. A lot of people love their first love more than anything.
Right.
You know, but you go back to it, like you said, a lot of your PS1 games, you go back to them and they just don't hold up.
Nope, and I think Final Fantasy VII is in that class where I couldn't imagine playing it right now. So
it's like if I was to look at my first girlfriend and I'd be like, I liked her.
Well, really? Don't you look at your hand every day?
Zinga, zinga. Hey, you're not supposed to be funny. That's supposed to be Adam.
Well, I had to try and pick up the slack, right?
That did not go where I thought it was going to go.
What?
Talk about your first girlfriend and some slack.
In your hand. What's up with wait now? Well, anyways.
Let's move on to a little bit of Gonna Geek. Oh.
Gonna Geek, and we're not gonna, you know, we've talked about a lot of Gonna Geek shows. So listeners, if you've been wondering, in case we didn't mention it clearly enough, if you listened to us for a while, you know that we are a proud member of the Gonna Geek Podcast Network. You can find over at GunnaGeek.com.
Well, sort of. Stargate Pioneer kind of tarnished it for me, but yeah, go ahead.
No. No one was tarnished here. So this week, we've already mentioned the official Gonna Geek Podcast. We've talked about all things good and nerdy, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., all fantastic
shows.
Oh,
we're done then. We're done with mentioning
anybody else. But there's one show that I wanted to mention to you and to our listeners as well. It's a show we haven't talked about real recently. It's been a few months. And I want to make sure you guys go check out a show called Pop X Cast. Now, they have their most recent episode. It probably will change here within a day or two. But it's episode 75, which is their Avengers Infinity War predictions. So it's not a spoiler. So Jason, you could actually listen to this one if you wanted. And these guys, they have a really good show. The one guy I know for sure was actually a radio host. So he's got a good voice. They put a good show together. And what they talk about here, if it wasn't clear by the title, Team PopX gathers 1 week before the launch of Avengers Infinity War to give their predictions and what they think will happen in the upcoming film. The film has already been predicted to change the dynamic of the MCU, and even the Russo brothers took to the web to plead with viewers not to spoil the film for those who haven't seen it yet. With that said, truly this will be a film that will change everything we know about the MCU. So this is their predictions, episode 75, about the Avengers Infinity War. So if you haven't seen it yet and you want to see what they think happens, go give it a listen. If you've seen it already, go give it a listen to see how close they got with their guesses. So definitely something to check out over at GunnaGeek.com.
Weekly Garnish.
I like it. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, well, we don't need Adam.
Yeah, right. No, we do. We need him around here. It's just not the same. Although it's been a good conversation. It's always fun chatting, but this week, we've got a weekly garnish that was brought to us by listener Ryan Davis via Facebook. Now, a lot of you may have seen this already, but he sent us a link late last week, I think, to tell us, hey, have you guys seen this? And essentially what it is Ron Howard, who I believe does the narration for the Arrested Development TV program, which is, of course, on Netflix now. But he actually went and took Star Wars A New Hope and gave it the Arrested Development narration treatment and redid it. And it's actually pretty darn good. So you go check that out. It's a quick weekly garnish, just something fun if you're a Star Wars fan and a fan of Arrested Development to go check it out. It's always kind of neat to see when these big names like Ron Howard are willing to just kind of play around and joke around and have some fun. And oftentimes some brilliant stuff comes out of it. So did you watch this yet?
I did, and I did think it was funny. Now, I'd only seen a few episodes of Arrested Development, so I was not 100% privy to some of the jokes or mannerisms of how, you know, they said stuff. I could tell that it must have been straight out of there.
Right, right. Yeah, it was pretty fun. I'm not I can't say I've watched every episode of Arrested Development either, but it's a pretty funny show. But listeners, Star Wars fans especially, go check it out because it was kind of cool to see. And we really want to thank our listener, Ryan Davis, via Facebook for sending that suggestion. And listeners, if you guys have any suggestions on anything that you would like us to cover in the show, stories, topics, even a cool gadget or item you want us to take a look at, don't be shy. Get a hold of us on the website there at digitalsuitpodcast.com. We've got links there for contacting us via all of our social media, and even just a simple contact form, which you can send an email to us. Absolutely, we'd love to hear from you. So anything else from you, Jason, before we sign out?
Nothing from me.
All right. So as usual, I'm trying to remember how Adam does this. All the pressure.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of awkward here. It's like, geez, he just flows through
it. He does. And I think it's something to the effect of, you know, as always, we do want to thank you guys for joining us this week here on Digital Soup Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. As I just mentioned, you can find us over at digitalsouppodcast.com. Subscribe to us anywhere you listen to podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, now on Spotify as well. We'd love to see some more join us on there. Where else? TuneIn, Stitcher, we're all over the place. of course, on Facebook, Instagram. Well, we don't really use Instagram anymore. So Facebook and Twitter primarily where you can get a hold of us. And of course, like we said, that contact form, we'd love to get in touch with you. And add your thoughts into the show because we're always up for that. Jason, I know we haven't had one in a while, but another thing maybe to remind people is they can send us in voicemail questions. If you have something you want to mention or comment on or a story you'd like us to talk about, feel free, keep it family friendly, of course, but feel free to record yourself on your phone and send it in via that contact form to jason@digitalsuitpodcast.com, and he can add that right into the show so we can talk about it. But I think that's about it. Make sure and tell your friends and let them know we'd always like to get more super friends in. So for Jason and the ailing Adam, which we hope he's feeling much better. I mean,
alien Adam?
Ailing, like he's not feeling well. But I mean, come on, who needs an appendix anyways, right?
Yeah, he's kind of alien. He might be an illegal alien. He is our dark Adam. You know?
No, he's not an illegal alien. Hope you're feeling better, buddy.
I haven't seen his birth certificate, so you know.
Right, or his tax returns. Hey, no.
Yeah.
No, but hope we're, Adam, I know you're going to listen to this later. We hope you're feeling better, man. We hope we did a decent show without you here. And look forward to having you back next week. Listeners, thanks again, and we'll see you here next week on Digital Soup with an all-new episode, plus our brand-new super reviews for Hardcore Henry coming up as well. So a doubleheader next week. Take care, guys. We'll see you later. And Jason, what do you always say to ring us out?
Later, Gators.
History, the greatest of mankind were complete packages, lacking nothing. In honor of them, we'll take a few moments to acknowledge those that have an appendix.
Gandhi, have an appendix.
Mother Teresa,
have an appendix.
Martin Luther King Jr.,
have an appendix.
William Shakespeare,
have an appendix.
Tully,
have an appendix.
Adam.
Stargate Pioneer! I'm gonna take you into my 16-inch biceps and I'm gonna crush you! I'm gonna do a...
What's some moves? I can't even think of any moves anymore. I haven't watched wrestling in so long.
I'm gonna do a triple axle body slam. Is that a thing?
What is that? Figure skating and wrestling?
Yes, I got three daughters. I don't know what I'm doing.
You could have went with a tombstone pile driver.
Oh, man.
You could have went with the, rock bottom, the stunner, Stone Cold Steve Austin stunner.
Could have just stunning Steve Austin stunning. When he had the long flowing locks.
Yeah,
remember
flipping
that?
The bird. You could. What? Who else? What are some big finishers? I don't remember. The rack. Remember Lex Luger's rack. The Stinger splash.
Oh, remember the floor? The Blue Bomber had that fall from the rafters.
Oh,
too soon. Too soon.
It'll always be too soon for that. Oh man, horrible. But. The Gunna Geek guys just have to know, especially SP. I mean, we had a lot of guys in our corner. This is a Royal Rumble. We'd have most of the network there, at least most of the official Gunna Geek show. And SP just has to remember that with Digital Soup, this is where the power lies, brother.
Hulk Hogan! Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
All right, later, everyone.
Later, guys.